Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J. Love is on her way in. And this is the Mind His Business Show right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM, because we keeping God 100. Not 101, not 103, 100.3 FM. Make sure that if you are out of the service range of the FM station for any reason, you can always check out our app on the Android or iPhone app store by simply typing in the keywords Gospel Music Omaha. You'll see our logo there with 100.3 FM on it. You also can listen at our website, www.gospelmusicomaha.com. There's a nice big listen button on there, and you can simulcast and hear everything that's on FM right there on the internet anywhere you are in the world. Love. You know, I gave my intro and you weren't here.
You always like to do it without me.
No, I don't like to do it without you. She said 1 minute before we were going live, hold on, I got to do my nervous pee. I got to get it out quick.
I didn't have any nervous pee. I just didn't want to have to get up during the...
You said it wasn't nervous. You just needed to do it.
We actually probably should have started. Well, look, 503, 508, 510, 530, 515. No.
Okay, because I know you want to say your name, because you like saying your name on the intro. So
okay.
For those of you that are already heard my intro, we're going to do our intro together.
Okay.
What's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show.
Thank you, Jackie.
So
look,
I
at
got,
all these people we have joining us
I
today.
I know, it's a lot. Hold on, I got to turn
Holy
the camera.
Holy moly cannoli.
You got a lot of people on here today.
There's a lot of people on here today.
Well,
wow.
I'm glad there are a lot of people. I'm adjusting the camera. I'm sorry my thumb is in the camera over here. I'm just trying to make sure we're both in here. So did you have anything you wanted to go through before we jump into the thing we want to do today?
People been asking, when are we going to do the symbols? Okay, hold on. Now, let me tell you something. I had already asked somebody for some help, and then I called them. All they did was do this on the phone. That's all
I know,
they did.
Like a serial killer.
They just breathed. I was like, wow. So I'm going to ask someone again. Please.
Text the radio station, 402-819-8941.
Yeah.
402-819-8941.
Okay. What I'm trying to do, okay? Now, Jackie has already said that she's already got the symbols. But what I'm trying to do is to put them on paper or one piece of paper. And I already went to Kinko's and they charge for, guess what, glossy. I am not paying
that
kind of money. That is a lot of money, y'all.
You don't need them printed out. You just need to have a separate screen, and then you show them on the screen. That's all.
Okay. We could do that.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, I thought that's what we had up here, but you said you didn't have them.
I did that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but you only showed the ones that didn't matter.
The ones that didn't matter?
No, what I mean by that is we're talking about in the gospel industry.
Listen, will y'all help this child?
Hello. Am I right, y'all? Y'all can tell me if I'm wrong.
Somebody help this child.
Look at the kisses. I love you too. Hi, baby.
Somebody help this child to organize her content so that she can do these symbols, please.
And I want you to know I'm still not fast enough in my reading, but I am reading. For those of you who don't know, when I had a stroke, okay, I had to, one of the things that happened was my ability to read. So when you see me struggling or you see me sounding something out, is I had a very, very, very rare stroke. They never see anything like it except for one time.
But your reading has improved quite a bit.
But improving is one thing, but being able to not read and go and stutter and out. Yeah, y'all, that's how bad it was. So that's the reason why I need help, because I don't want to slow Jackie down. I just want to be able to show the symbols. You guys be able to take a note of them or video or pictures of them. That's why I was telling you to get something else if you need, some help.
Okay. So now that we've done
I'm trying.
Now that we've done that, please
I'm trying.
Text this woman Good Lord. 402-819-8941. That's also, in case you were wondering, that's also the request line number. So if you text us your request of a song you'd like to hear, most of the time we are able to get that in rotation so that you can hear your favorite gospel
music. Because I gave out my
song.
Phone number before, and they just breathed on the phone. I'm like, you got me? And they just breathed on the phone. I was just like, no.
So
just hang up.
Well, you know, before we get too much farther, I did want to have a comment on, you know, what I like to call weapons of mass distraction.
Yeah, and we do want to say hi to people because they are waving and everything else on there.
I see
those
folks.
What's up, y'all?
But in our weapons of mass distraction conversation that we do have from time to time, if you're listening to this if you're listening to this way into the future, you'll be like, man, that was a long time ago. But if you're listening right now, they just had an entertainment bout between YouTuber Jake Paul and former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson. And a lot of money was generated off of the entertainment bout. And I'm calling it an entertainment bout because even though it was a sanctioned boxing match, it was obviously and clearly scripted. And there were a lot of things that were done that would lead one to believe that Mike Tyson perhaps might have even gone through a humiliation ritual. And what I want to say about the way the world operates is Satan offers you the world, but then he gives with one hand and he takes away with the other. So
no, what he does is he puts one hand behind his back so that when you grab, he gonna take you from the front. Take you with that over.
Well, and I'm bringing this up because there's a contrast between the way Satan's world system operates and the way the Holy Spirit's kingdom, Christ's kingdom operates. There's a difference between the two kingdoms. So Satan's kingdom, you know, he'll give with one hand but take with the other. And I kind of noticed that watching the bout. Now, obviously, it was entertainment, and I approached it as such. I didn't take it very seriously. You know that this is all for clicks and views and generating money and all that. So you're not supposed to take these things seriously. So for the folks out there that bet money on it, you probably shouldn't have done that because it was for entertainment. It's not real. These things are already, they have, it's just like I don't know why I can't talk today. The wrestling. You know, the big WWE or WWF, whatever they call it nowadays, all of those things are scripted. If you notice, for those of you that do like to watch, what is it, WWE, I think? Old school. Remember back in the day, it was WWF with Vince McMahon, and my favorite wrestlers were Jimmy Superfly Snuka. And Andre,
man, Jimmy Fry Snuka was fine to me. I don't care. Man with some weight. I don't care, okay? I like a man. You hear me? He looking like a man. Good.
It was kind of interesting to me because in the weigh-in, and I'm tying this back to the humiliation ritual thing, okay?
Yep.
You notice when it's WWE and it's all scripted, all of the men come out in superhero underwear.
Oh.
You notice that? Like until they
God
had
made
like
man
a,
and said it was good.
Now
and
stop
then,
it now. Now stop being carnal.
No, no, get I'm your not mind being. I'm the, not being carnal.
You're out of order, as what the name says. But you notice that they always have these men. First of all, in their underwear.
Well, I'm just glad he wasn't in a dress.
I'm getting to that. But Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of the first ones that wore like jean shorts. John Cena started wearing jean shorts. Like some of these guys later on, they started wearing more regular pants or whatnot. But for the longest, these wrestlers would come out in basically glorified tighty whities. I'm just gonna call it what it is. Because it was entertainment. You're supposed to be looking at heroes and villains, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it is both the heroes and the villains all get a paycheck from the same company.
Entertainment.
So they all of the heroes and the villains in WWE or whatever wrestling thing you like to watch for wrestling entertainment, they're all underneath the same company. So whether you're the heel or whether you're the hero, both of y'all are getting a paycheck from the same employer. And when I was watching this scripted entertainment bout, that happened on Netflix, that I heard it generated upwards of $300 million. I heard that Mike Tyson earned at least $20 million, and I'm sure Jake Paul got even more than that as a YouTuber.
I was not impressed by him. Well, I wasn't.
Well, I noticed that when they had the weigh-in, Jake Paul was wearing he was wearing more regular attire that you would expect a male athlete to be wearing.
With jewels all over him.
But when Mike Tyson came out for the weigh-in, he literally was wearing, I can't call them tidy whities because they were white, but he was wearing briefs.
No.
Now they were Versace briefs.
I was going
to say. So they were expensive.
Okay, all right.
Nonetheless, they were briefs. They weren't boxer briefs. They weren't boxers. They weren't they weren't pants. It was literally, he came out literally in his underwear to the point where I felt embarrassed for him. And he did not seem happy.
Put all his business in the street.
He really didn't. As a matter of fact, he grabbed his private parts a couple of times. And my initial reaction when I saw it was, it seems like he's giving a big, this is a family show. But you know how you flip somebody off, but you do it very rudely? That's kind of what it felt like when he was grabbing his private parts in his briefs, sitting there at the weigh-in with everyone looking at his essentially naked body. I felt embarrassed for him. Then after that, Jake Paul, who had on regular clothes, stepped on his foot and made a kissy motion toward his face. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, they had to play that up for the cameras. And so
I don't know why another man would make another kissy at another man.
He slapped him. And of course, that's for the entertainment. That's the same thing as WWE. You know how they get together and they trash talk each other before the match. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the exact same thing. But then what really got me the most was two things. One, when Tyson came out for the actual bout, he didn't seem happy. He didn't seem aggressive. He didn't seem anything. The training videos.
He looked hurt to me. I felt like he shouldn't have been out there because he looked like he was limping on one leg. I said, who would put somebody limping with one leg? And well, that doesn't make any sense.
You're right. And he didn't look anything like his training footage. He looked like he was in great shape, really ready to do some things. But when he got out there, it seemed like
he was heavier in weight.
I got the impression that it was kind of one of those, let me just get this over with so I can get my check, but my heart is not in it. And that's what it felt like to me. Mm. When he was done with the bout, they were asking him questions. His answers were very short. He didn't go into much detail. It was kind of yes or no. But then the worst part about it all, I'm talking about a humiliation ritual here, they did an interview with him prior to him going out on fight night. Mm. And it got caught on social media and went viral. At the end of this particular video, I guess he was in the locker room. They were interviewing him in the locker room. And they both kissed each other on the cheek, him and the interviewer. They both said, I love you, to each other. And then the camera watches Mike Tyson as he walks away. And he's wearing a back brace / jock strap. And
it was showing his butt cheeks.
And they were totally out as he was walking away. And I said to myself, there is no way that if there was any respect for this man, that the cameraman would have allowed that to go, or that the network would have allowed that to play. Because you know they do have a little button where they have a time delay, even on a live stream. Now, y'all remember the humiliation ritual that Janet Jackson went through at the Super Bowl. I don't know if you remember that or not. Some of you are old enough to remember. Some of you aren't. But Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake were at the Super Bowl. They're performing. Yeah. It's live streaming on all the major networks because it's the Super Bowl halftime show. And Justin Timberlake did what appeared to be a scripted move to expose Janet Jackson's her top parts. And she was humiliated from that, and it took a long time for her career to bounce back from that. Well, I feel like that was also a humiliation ritual. Well, I think that's what they did to Mike Tyson, because his whole demeanor seemed like he was unhappy. He seemed upset. He seemed like he just wanted to get it over with. And on top of it all, they're showing him basically in a way to make him look debased.
Well, this is the Mind His Business show, so you know I'm going to say what other people are afraid to say. And I'd like to know, why is it people of color that this kind of ritual or whatever you want to call it, it has to be their body? You tell me that.
Well, it's not just entertainers and popular people of color. John Cena just came out on, I think it was the Oscars, nude.
They have them dressing like women. I'm sorry. I've seen
that too.
I've seen our men of color. They always put them in dresses.
But it's not just them. I mean, I've seen Adam Sandler wearing a dress. Robin Williams wore a dress. It's across the board.
Y'all can look them up, because they did wear Miss Doubtfire and all those
exactly.
different types of
things. It's not just specifically one ethnicity or another.
Yeah, because Janet, that happened to her, and she's, you know.
Well, but this is what I'm saying, is that Satan gives with one hand and he takes away with the other. He promises you all this fame and all this glory and all these riches, but on the other hand, he says, well, I'm going to have to at some point either humiliate you, or I'm going to have to take away something or someone that you love in order for you to gain this favor or prove your loyalty. And that is not the
way. Take away meaning off them.
And that is not the way God's kingdom operates.
Right.
God's kingdom does not operate that way. God doesn't give with one hand and take away with the other. It says that his gifts and callings are without repentance, for one. That means he doesn't change his mind about it. But then there's another verse that I'm going to pull this scripture up here briefly. And it talks about, Jesus is talking about his father giving good gifts to his children. I'm going to pull this up because I love this. First of all, I did quote that verse, Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That to repent means to change your mind. So in other words, if he gives a gift, if God gives a gift, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't give you a gift and then say, I changed my mind. You can't have that anymore. Mm. He gives that away and does not change his mind. And that's very different than the world system that says, yeah, we gave you some fame, but in order for you to keep getting this fame, you're going to have to either have to be publicly humiliated, or you're going to have to give up something that you love or someone who you love, or perhaps Mike Tyson needed the money and they said, well, how bad do you want it? And if you want it this badly, then we're going to basically haze you and make fun of you and mock you.
Doesn't
in order to give it
sort
to
of
you.
Cannabis, doesn't he raise?
He has a
That's
weed.
A lot of money. He That's a lot of money. I don't care. That is a lot of money.
Well, he's got a weed company, and apparently he's got a lot of lawsuits going against his cannabis company. And so maybe this is just a money, you know, he just did it for the money. I mean, because what 58-year-old man wants to get back into the ring with a 27-year-old YouTube guy? Who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that.
I would knock him out and say thank you and come back again. If I'm the best, and I believe he is one of the best, I'd be like, even in my 50s, 60s, you know, just if you want some, come and get it, knock him out and go home. But if this was something deeper than come and get it and go home, because, you know, a lot of these fights are fixed, in my opinion. And notice I said, in my opinion, they're fixed. So if you think that I believe that this guy can literally, with Tyson being rigid and everything, that if you think that he's just going to say, I'm going to just lay down and, no. I believe it was for a payday.
Well, he even said that at the end. The announcer asked him, would you fight again? And he said, I don't know if the terms are right. He's something along those lines. Basically, what I heard was, well, if the money is right, you might get me back in the ring. Mm. At which point in time, you know, it goes back to that whole scripture that we talked about a few weeks ago about you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. And we all have to make a living. We do have jobs, and his job was to be a boxing entertainer, and he was at the top of his game for a very long time. But if you notice, let me finish this sentence. He became the youngest heavyweight champion ever at 20 years old in 4 months.
But you got to tell them how many, because a lot of people don't think that we know what we're talking about. How many wins and how many losses?
Well, he had
and how
50,
many draws?
He had 50 losses.
No,
me, 50
he didn't.
Wins.
There we go. I was about
50
to say.
Wins. 50 wins, 44 by knockout, 22 of those in the first round. Mm-hmm. He only had 6 losses after that, and now you can count a 7th loss to a YouTube star, which is that's kind of disgraceful when you say it like that.
But, I think it was a humiliation.
Because even Shaquille O'Neal, who was in the audience, was like, yeah, I ain't trying to get out of the... Wait a minute. Let me see if I can do my Shaq impression.
Uh-oh.
I ain't trying to get back in the ring at... nobody trying to get in the ring at that old... That's a terrible Shaquille O'Neal impression. But this is how the world operates. They say, if you want to continue on this path of receiving all the things that Satan wants to give... we're going to take something from you. And think about it. Mike Tyson's, I mean, everybody has heard about his story over the years. His whole, his trainer that took him, you know, took him under his wing. He loved him like a father. That man died right before he got his first major championship.
I think his name was Customato.
Customato. And after he had this whole arc of success as a young person with all the fame, he was with Don King, you know, all that stuff happened. Later on in life, he had a daughter, and that daughter died tragically. And
nobody knows how she passed.
Well, what I want to say about that is if you observe many of the celebrities that are out there, many of them have lost loved ones right at the beginning, or right at the beginning of their rise to fame, or... after they've had fame for a while, but then they kind of have a renewal of that fame. They become relevant again. You'll see something else happen tragically to someone they love. This is not by accident in some cases. In some cases, these are by design. Now, I'm saying that allegedly because none of us will ever really know what deals are made behind the scenes. But oftentimes... that is the way their system operates. You either have to give up yourself, you give up your child, you give up who you love the most, you know, or you become drastically humiliated in some sort of way, whether it's via sodomy or things of that nature.
And when she says give up, she's talking about sacrifice.
I'm trying to be delicate.
Is sacrifice a bad word?
No, it's not a bad word.
Okay.
But these are not things that one should have to do in order to gain a gift. So if having to compromise your life, your family, your sanity, your dignity is what is required in order to gain the prize, then you're seeking the wrong prize, just putting it flat out. Let me show you what God's economy looks like, how he does gift giving. I'm going to pull this Bible verse up, and this is in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start at verse 7 here, and we're heading toward at least... verse 11. Okay, it says, ask. Now this is Yahushua Jesus talking, and he says, ask and it shall be given you. He didn't say you got to sacrifice something, you got to give up something, you got to bend over, you got to do something, you got to take this, you got to go to a Diddy party, you got to do... He didn't say any of that. He said simply, ask and it shall be given you. And that word in the Greek for ask, it implies a continuous ask. Keep on asking. Just ask. It says seek, continuous. It's a continuous present. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Mm-hmm. Of what man is there of you whom his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? He's saying, who out of you, if you have a child and your child is hungry and says, mama, can I have some bread? Daddy, can I have some bread? Are you going to turn around and say, well, here's a stone. Here's a rock. Go chew on that. Mm. No loving parent would do that. And he continues on. He says, well, if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? Mama, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm hungry. Can we have some fish tonight? Oh, no, I'm going to give you the snake and let it bite you. No, there is no loving parent that would do that. But that is how Satan deceives and compromises and abuses people that want the fame and the fortune. They're asking for this fame and fortune, which, you know, is always called a fickle mistress. And at the end, it's bitter at the end because they don't get what they want, or be careful, you know, it's one of those be careful what you ask for because you just might get it sort of situations. And so in verse 11, Jesus says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Not good things to them that sacrifice a loved one to get it.
But wait, there's more. What's strange is that they're asking you for a sacrifice that's a blood sacrifice. But Jesus shed his blood for us on the cross.
That was the sacrifice. Preach it, love.
That's what I'm just trying to say.
Preach it, love.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just saying that.
No, roll that out a little further.
To me, the scrolls rolled out and Jesus literally rolled out. You understand? He rolled out his life. They hung him. They put. Do y'all know what the cross was really like back then? Y'all think it was just a thing that goes down and across like that? No. This was a tree, okay, that they made him carry. All right? And then they put him in the arms, had to go around. Y'all don't know. Y'all know what a tree is? Y'all think it was just like a stick like this that goes in some sand and some dirt and then the thing that goes across. No, this thing was literally heavy. It's huge. And they took his arms and took it back around. It's terrible, Jackie. I seen it. We don't know what the real cross. A lot of you don't know what the real cross looks like. It's hideous. Hideous. And to tell somebody to come along that, oh, he may not be dead, so you want to go ahead and stab him in the side. And to have people carry that cross, because remember, you know, when they had beat him so bad, I think his name was Arimathaeus.
You talking about Cephas?
Cephas didn't carry it for him. Cephas didn't carry the cross.
I'm trying to understand what you're. I think it's what you're getting at.
What I'm saying
Cyrus
is
the Cyrene.
So what I found out is, put in there who carried the cross for Jesus. Mm-hmm. This we think that the cross is just so some little stick with a line going across. It's not. No, it's hideous. It's like this big old huge. It's terrible.
Well, it was Simon of Cyrene who carried the instrument of crucifixion.
That instrument
for Christ.
Wow.
Simon of Cyrene.
Cyrene, there we go.
What is interesting about Simon of Cyrene is that he was a dark man. He wasn't a European guy.
Jesus was dark too. A lot of people don't know that.
He was a person of color. And so we've been involved. Let me read this. I'm going to put this website up to tell you a little bit about Simon of Cyrene. Because people who think the Bible is only about white people, the Bible is mostly about people of color, melanated people. It really aren't any Caucasian people well represented in Scripture. Now, they
really
do exist.
I haven't heard of any, except for the indentured servants, that, you know, where people of non-color that's just me. I haven't heard of them carrying any heavy crosses, and I haven't heard of them doing any type of labor like that. Sorry.
In Matthew 27:32 is where we find the account of Simon of Cyrene literally ministering to Christ by helping him to carry this instrument of death. But it says here in the BibleStudyTools.com website, it says, who was Simon of Cyrene, and what does the Bible say about him? So it says, and I'll just read a bit. I'll just read a bit of this, and then we'll move on from here. It says that everything recorded in the Bible is factual, from the truth of all reported words and events to the truth of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. The Bible wastes no words. The Holy Spirit superintended the words of Scripture to reflect God's purposes, and everything in it everything it contains has meaning. Therefore, when we read short accounts of people, they are in the Word for a purpose. With that in mind, we should ask, who was Simon of Cyrene, and why is he mentioned in the Bible? Simon was, as written in Scripture, from Cyrene, Matthew, Mark, and Luke each say he was of Cyrene. When you say that they are of Cyrene, that means they are from Cyrene. Like I could say, my name is Lady J of Omaha. Love Love could say, I'm Love Love of Omaha. That means I'm Love Love and I'm from Omaha. It says it was a city with a population close to 5,000 people. The Greeks made Cyrene a trade outpost around the 7th century before Christ, and it lay in the region of Cyrenaica, a coastal town on the Mediterranean Sea. As the Greeks expanded their empire, mythology guided them with the names for new cities. Cyrene was named after Cyrene, the daughter of a Thessalian king. Okay. And a water nymph. So the name Cyrene or Cyrene came from Greek mythology. Cyrene contained a number of Jewish settlers, and it's listed among the nations in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. So it was even mentioned in the day of Pentecost. So there's a big tie between Jesus, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Cyrene is involved with this process. People from Cyrene heard Peter preach as if in their own language. Since Cyrene sat in modern-day Libya on the northern tip of Africa, Since Cyrene sat in modern-day Libya on the northern tip of Africa, many conclude Simon was a dark-skinned man. And then, of course, it goes on. But we cannot know for sure because the Bible is not definitive about his race. Obviously.
Some people just say he's a slave and he would have been carrying stuff anyway because he was a slave. Come on here. Simon, really? Really? Really?
Simon may have been African, but he could have been a transplanted Jew or some other descent. I don't know why they're trying to just give the man the credit that he was a black man. Okay? He was African.
Isn't that called whitewashing?
Scripture does not say, and we must not assert something unintended by the writers of scriptures, but nor can we discount it either. So Simon of Cyrene is mentioned by name in three passages of scripture, Matthew 27:32, Mark 15:21, and Luke 23:26. In Matthew, it says they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry the cross. Mark's gospel says they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus. So some of y'all got Uncle Rufus. They probably took his name from the scripture because Simon of Cyrene was the father of Alexander and Rufus. So Simon's children were Alexander and Rufus to carry his cross. And Luke says, as they led him away, they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. So a very important role. He was called out by name. So if he is from Libya, that man African. I don't care what you say. I ain't trying to hear nothing about, he might have moved there later on. No, no. If he's from Cyrene, he was of that culture.
He
would have blended in with that culture.
He's of color.
And that is the end of that as far as I'm concerned. But
did you get a picture of the real actual cross by chance?
No,
what
I didn't.
It looked like?
I didn't look that up.
Because they actually have it that we just think that is something that's like this and has a line going across it. No, 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 no.
No, I did not do that. But back to the headline, mm-hmm. God does not humiliate you in order to serve him.
No.
God does not haze you into the kingdom.
He took humiliation for you. When he died on that cross, he took the humiliation for you.
The world's entertainment system, they have you do things like go to Diddy parties where they drug you up, cause you to become unconscious sometimes, and sometimes while you're awake. And then they have you do unspeakable things, and then they have that footage on you that they then hold over you in order to control what you do in the industry. You become compromised.
After they drug you. Mm-hmm.
And so this is how Satan operates. He coerces and forces people to get in line and stay in line. And that is not the way God's kingdom operates. As we just showed you, all you have to do is ask and you will receive from God. He
Hallelujah.
Gives good gifts to his children. He is not going to trick you into the kingdom. He's not going to coerce you into loving him. He's not going to force you to obey him even. And this actually becomes a problem for people that want God to force bad people to do good things. Mm-hmm. And that is the complete opposite of the way God loves. God right. wants us to love him. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to obey him. He woos us unto him. But he does not force us into a relationship with him if we don't want one. And that's very different than the way the devil's world operates.
Yeah.
The devil's world forces you to trauma bond yourself into allegiance with him.
Does anybody know what that means? You might want to explain.
Well, shared trauma is a way to get people to have a false sense of intimacy, commitment, loyalty, you name it, allegiance. It is not the way that true love operates. A couple of examples would be when a person pledges a sorority or a fraternity and all of them go through a hazing ritual, which is a humiliation ritual, and various things are done to compromise the individuals or humiliate or debase them in order to trauma bond all of the pledges that are on the line, in order to bond them together so that they stick together because they have a shared trauma. I'm just calling it what it is. The same thing happens in most secret organizations, whether it's the Freemasons, the Eastern Stars, the some motorcycle clubs, any sort of oath-bound secret organization typically has some sort of hazing or humiliation or other ritual of other types in order to trauma bond you to allegiance, into allegiance to that organization. Something similar happens in the military when you go through boot camp and they say that they break you down to build you up.
Ugh.
That is also a form of trauma bonding.
Yep, because my son was in there. Mm-hmm.
That they put the recruits through mm-hmm. in boot camp in order to bond them into allegiance to the cause of the military.
I don't agree with that either. It's terrible. But
so it's important that when we have relationship with Christ, we don't have to be humiliated to get in. We don't have to be trauma bonded to Jesus. And it's we don't have to be trauma bonded to Jesus in order for him to love us and for us to love him.
He took the trauma for us.
So we don't
took it on him.
We don't need to. Jesus' system is just better. That's all I can say. His system is opposite of the world's system that wants to force you and manipulate you and coerce you in order to keep you under control. And if you get out of line, then they'll ruin your reputation. As the saying goes, any person or organization that has enough power to give you everything you ever wanted mm-hmm. has enough power to take away everything you've ever had. It is just that simple. They come to you offering you the world. Oh, we'll give you this. We'll give you this fame. We'll give you this money. We'll give you this power. We'll give you this influence. All you have to do is do this compromise.
They want you to give them their soul. They want you to give them your soul. They want you to make a soul allegiance is what they want to do. That's what they want to do.
And Jesus says, this is a free gift. You didn't have to earn it. You can't work for it. I'm giving it to you freely. There's nothing that you can do to earn the love of Christ. It's already been given freely. That's why being born again is by faith, by grace through faith. That's all. That's all it takes. It doesn't take, you don't have to be hazed in. You don't have to be humiliated in. You don't have to be trauma bonded in. Jesus's way is superior because true love is voluntary from all parties. It's not coerced. It's not manipulated. It's not lied to or lied about. It is freely given and freely received and freely continued by all parties. And it's important that as believers, we understand the difference so that we can minister to people who operate under a different mindset or at best, or at least at a minimum, we can be mindful and sober and vigilant about the way the enemy works, because oftentimes the offer is very subtle. And maybe the compromise is very subtle. Have you ever watched a movie, Love, where they get this person and they want this person to do something? And the person is like, well, I'm only going to do it this one time. and then get the money, and then that's it, right? And so the guy is like, sure, sure, go ahead. And then he does this one compromise, and maybe it's a small thing, leaving a door unlocked, or maybe it's giving up someone's location or name, or maybe it's logging into a computer.
Leave a crack.
Whatever it is.
You commit a foothold. They'll put a foothold.
But notice, yeah, every single movie you ever watch, when they do that one compromise, it's never just that one compromise. Because then the villain always comes back and says, now I need you to do something else for me. And he's like, no, I only wanted to do this one thing. But he's like, yeah, but now you're in it now. And you can't stop now because now I got you in it. And once you're in it, you can't get out of it oftentimes. It's way easier to not get into a hole than it is to try to get out of one once you've dug one for yourself. So, and the other thing is if you find yourself in a hole, first thing you should do is stop digging. If you've dug yourself into a hole, the first thing you want to do is stop digging. Don't make it worse. Don't dig it deeper.
Yeah,
stop digging.
Even if they want to make you unalive, you know, you still, you know, and I believe that's what they do, is they say, we're going to do this to them and we're going to do this to you. There's a day, I don't know what day, but I know that these days are here, but I don't know any specific day, where they'll say, hey, you better do this or you better do that. And if you don't, we're off in your head.
Or we'll bring that footage out.
Or yes.
Or we'll ruin your reputation.
Or we'll hurt someone else in your family. We'll do this to them and we'll do them. Yeah.
Well, and it's how they keep people in line. If you notice, a lot of our celebrities that we have seen over the years, they did something or tried to do something that wasn't sanctioned, if I can say it that way, by whoever their handlers were. And that's when their reputation became destroyed. There's a couple names come to mind for me. One would be Bill Cosby. Now, I'm not saying that Bill Cosby is a good guy, because I don't know him personally, nor am I involved in anything that he's done over the last 60 years of his career. But what I do know is that right before he was making a bid to buy NBC, the television network, that was when this whole scandal started coming out. Women that you ain't heard from them in 30, 40 years, talking about stuff that happened in the 60s and 70s, and they destroyed that man's reputation off of a he said, she said from 40, 50 years ago, from consensual activities that were done, all of them together, knowingly what they were doing. I can think of another one, Michael Jackson. He's another one. They tried to get that man twice on some charges. Now, I'm not saying Michael Jackson is a good guy, because I don't know what happened behind the scenes for everything. I just know the things they alleged him of, he was acquitted both times. But notice that after he did, there were two things that he did. And after he did those two things, that's when they tried to assassinate his character and reputation. The first thing was he got up and said Tony Mottola was the devil.
I don't think he was lying.
The record company executive. She got trauma bonded and messed up by Tommy Mottola too. That was the first thing. The second thing was he attempted to buy the Beatles catalog, which was the largest and arguably probably most valuable publishing catalog in the world.
That was it for them. They were like, that's it, you gotta go.
Right after those two things happened, what happened? They started trashing that man. They started calling him all kind of things. They started throwing lawsuits at him, alleging things about young people. And he was acquitted of all those charges, but the damage was done. Sometimes just even the accusation is enough. Another one is, who else got their reputation destroyed after they tried to do something unsanctioned? I would venture to say that P. Diddy had some similar situation. They were saying,
like,
I'm not saying he's a good guy, but he was trying to buy, what network was he trying to buy? There was a network he was trying to buy, allegedly.
I'm just saying, if he's worth that kind of money, billions, only imagine what there, with all of those labels,
if
how
he
much
was making,
money,
if he was getting that much money, imagine how much his handlers and bosses were
getting.
Another one I can think of, Kanye West. They humiliated him after he publicly said things about needing to sign contracts that require you to not say the name of Jesus in a positive way. He talked about some of the controllers of the systems that we deal with, certain ethnicities of people. When he started talking about those things, immediately, that's when they started branding him crazy. They were saying he was off his meds. They made him, they humiliated
well,
they him.
They took his children. Don't forget, they took sure his children, did. Gave them to the
now,
mother.
I'm not saying that Kanye West's a good guy. That's not what I'm saying. What
no,
I'm saying, though, is there is a
no.
pattern. There is a pattern
no.
that you are offered all of these things if you, quote, sell your soul. I'm putting that in quotes because we're saying that more symbolically than specifically. You sell your soul to get all the fame, the fortune, the accolades, the power, the influence. And then if you step out of line according to what it is they want you to be doing at any given time, they can destroy your reputation just because. Mm-hmm. They don't need to have a reason. Or they can humiliate you just because. There's no way you're going to get me to believe that Mike Tyson, right before the fight,
no way.
Would take an interview with his butt cheeks hanging out with no towel wrapped around him for modesty, kiss another man on the cheek, say I love you, and then turn around with his back to the camera knowing that his
nope.
behind is out.
Nope. Mm-mm.
There's only two things that I can see why that would have happened.
Nope.
One, he was intentionally doing that to say kiss my butt as he's walking away. Or number two, he was forced to do that as a humiliation ritual because he is part of the fame machine that Satan offers as part of the package. You can get humiliated if you want to continue your fame, or if you want to continue to get the money, or if you stepped out of line. This is how they play. This is their system and how they operate. As believers, we don't operate that way. We operate under the principle of love, and that love is not forced. It's not coerced. It thinks
what?
The best. It believes the best. It's encouraging, not discouraging. It doesn't humiliate or debase or undignify people. Yeah. True love doesn't operate that way.
Well, ain't that what Diddy Doo Wop said? His new name is Love.
Did he do it? Yeah, he tried to change his name to Brother Love. Well, did he?
Well, I hate to know what hate is. If he's talking about it, he's love. I'd like to know what hate would be.
Well, the world's definition of love would be more accurately stated as tolerance, or
well, his
or
love
approval.
Might be his love might be the eros because remember, lust. How many there's filial love, brotherly love. Mm-hmm. There's eros. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
Well, that's the sensual.
That's not good.
Carnal love.
Right. Then you
physical.
Have. Go ahead.
Agape.
Agape. That's kind of.
That's
love.
The God kind of love. It's
that's,
the giving. It's
that's
the
God kind
selfless.
Of love.
It's
yes.
the considering others along with yourself,
yes.
and not just doing things for only a selfish motivation.
Oh yeah. Hallelujah.
So, that's probably all I wanted to talk about today. There were some other things I wanted to talk about. We are gearing up to do our new programming for the year. So here shortly, if you're listening to the radio station, we'll start running some commercials to tell you how you can go about getting a show on Gospel Music Omaha. If you have content that you create and you would like it broadcast on Gospel Music Omaha, we are very much so getting ready to open up our programming windows for the next year coming up. So be on the lookout for that. We also have some of our favorite hand-picked, we call them editor pick, I guess, YouTube channels that we believe are bringing timely and relevant content. They're putting it out tirelessly, and they're doing a great job.
They're bringing the heat, y'all.
And we believe that it's relevant. So we'll be having a little bit more of that sort of content that we're actually going to broadcast on our radio station, so be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm.
Great content creators that are talking about AI, transhumanism, current events. They're decoding TV shows and movies. They're talking
yes.
about decoding lyrics in our R&B and rap music industries, our soul music industries, and showing
and
how
gospel, in gospel because
in gospel
yeah because a lot of people don't know that you know, when they say the devil's in the details, he can also be in gospel music, which people don't think so, but
we've got some handpicked YouTubers that talk about the events of Revelation and the end times, which is always a fascinating topic, and believers should be on top of that. Did you know that the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible where it says that you get a blessing for those that read that book?
Yeah.
Let me pull that scripture verse up. That'd be a good place to end. But we're going to have a lot of handpicked, this is picked by us, the editors, content. Now, that doesn't mean that we agree with every single thing that every single person on our radio station says. Of course, we have legal disclaimers that we will announce at the beginning of every show. But we believe that these content creators are talking about things that we as believers need to be on top of. We need to be on top of things like secret societies. We need to be on top of the world system and how it is moving toward the beast antichrist system. We need to be sober and be vigilant at how our enemy is working. We need to be prepared for the events of the last days and the end times. And these content creators, they are just really hitting the pulse on what it means to walk biblically and scripturally, to know who the real Christ is and not all these false teachers and itching ears teachers, but really zone in on what's happening in our world today and how it fits into our lives as believers. So I'm going to pull up this scripture verse in Revelation chapter 1, and then we'll probably end up with this here. So, of course, Revelation 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to Jesus to show unto his servants, that's you and me, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Yes.
The book of Revelation is the only book out of all the writings of scripture. It's the only book that says that you get a blessing if you read it and if you hear it. So we found some teachers we think are very, very excellent in breaking down the book of Revelation, because I don't know about you, but I want that blessing.
Yes,
I want to hear the words of what are in Revelation and understand how it applies to me as a believer in these end times. So we've got some great content that's going to be coming up. So be looking out for that. We're also going to be doing some exciting things in the next year for what we call international inspirations, where we are very interested in ministering to many of the different immigrant communities that are here in Omaha.
Correct.
For example, did you know that outside of Sudan, the largest Sudanese population in the entire world is in Omaha, Nebraska?
I don't think they knew.
So we want to do some gospel music in the languages of the Sudanese. We also have a very large Karen population.
Oh, yeah.
And many of them are Christians already.
Yes.
So we want to do some programming in the language of the Karen people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other people groups that have immigrated here to Omaha. We have very much so an international flavor. So we're developing a few radio shows that will specifically bring gospel music and gospel teachings, perhaps from their actual language. So not in English, but in their language.
Now, hold on. You know, we have, believe it or not, we have something that is going to be completely different, because a lot of y'all say, I only be hearing this kind of music. Well, we have met some people who actually out of town who like country music that's Christian country.
Well, let me put it to you like this.
Christian country, that's what they said. they like and love Christian country. So what we're thinking about doing is actually adding in 15 minutes or a half an hour for Christian country. Jackie,
we'll see.
Hey, look, if they know it's on there and it's playing, hey.
I will say this. I will say this, that sometimes when you tell people you have gospel music, they immediately think Southern gospel or bluegrass gospel.
Right.
Or occasionally country gospel, like, for example, if you were to live down in Tennessee or Alabama, Mississippi, places like that, you say gospel music, they don't necessarily automatically assume that it's urban in nature. They mm-hmm. assume it's more Southern gospel. So as a result, there are a certain amount of people of color that do like Southern gospel
they
because
sure
of it came from the Southern portion of America. So we're probably not going to put a lot of emphasis on that because we are an urban station, but we do have some folks that would be interested in that. We've gotten some feedback, so we might carve out a little bit of time for that. Y'all let us know if that's something that you're interested in as well. You can email us at gospelmusicomaha@gmail.com, or you can just fill out the contact form on our website, gospelmusicomaha.com. Let us know what type of programming you'd like to hear. Maybe you'd like to have a show on the air. We'll be promoting that here soon. We do want to do a little bit more international. So like we already play our wild styles where we do soca and reggae, and we do lots of different urban styles in English. But we are going to develop a little bit of programming for international flavors that are actually in international languages,
yes.
because we do have a population that we want to reach for the gospel. And we think that that's important to do. So
correct. And the reason why we're doing it is because they're actually, believe it or not, tapping into our station, and their people are tapping into our station, mm-hmm. which means this gospel that we preach is going to be going throughout the earth, throughout the world. Yes.
And we have some other things that we're working on that we cannot state publicly, but just know that Gospel Music Omaha is going to be worldwide in more ways than one.
Correct.
So, y'all stick around. The vision is big. And we appreciate your prayers. That is the number one thing you can do is pray for us and pray for this radio station. That
pray
it can
good
continue,
prayers.
That
we don't want
grow.
No. We don't want nobody's negative prayers. I'm telling you that now. Because sometimes when you tell people to pray, you don't know what they're praying. We want people who really love King Jesus, who really love Him, who really are interested in this gospel radio station flourishing and moving forward. I'm sorry, you just have to say it sometime.
Oh,
okay.
Well, yeah.
We want positive. We want wonderful blessings, prayers. Yes.
So that's about it for today.
Yes.
We're so happy and glad that you listen.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed what you heard on this radio station from this show, there's a couple things you can do. Go to mindhisbusiness.com where we upload each one of these episodes every week, so you can hear this one again. If we said something that piqued your interest, you want to hear it again, go to mindhisbusiness.com. You can pull it up there and re-watch or re-listen to the program there.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're driving in your car in the morning, or you're on the radio in the morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. each week, we rebroadcast the Sunday night show. So you can get that all throughout the week. You can listen to this again, catch the things you didn't like, laugh at the things you thought were funny, and listen to them again. And most importantly, make sure that you pray for this station and tell people about the radio station. The more people you tell, the more it can grow. You are partners with us in that.
And Sister Ethel, I know you on here. Sister Ethel Marie, I love you. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm bringing the heat on this ham. Do you hear me? This bone-in ham, I'm about to bring the heat. And I'm about to bring the heat, Jackie, on this pound cake that I'm about to make.
Watch it now. Well, on that note, I'm about to pound this off button so I can get out here and get me some dinner. So thank you.
Yes.
So thank you for everyone who's listening. We'll
thank
see you.
You
next week. I'm Lady J.
I'm Love.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Ciao, everybody.